If you got your Bible, let's open up to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. We appreciate everybody coming out, being with us tonight. And you pray for us. The Lord, help us. And we want to mind the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. You find that place, stand. I'm going to be in a familiar text of Scripture, and one that I have gotten help from many times over the years. And if you read your Bible a lot, you probably came right here and got the same kind of help I've got. Thank God that's the blessing about the Bible. It's not prejudice. It'll help whoever reads it. Amen. Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, I'm going to read just a little bit. Try not to read too much but for tonight, for the sake of it, it says in verse 1, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, says God knoweth. Such a one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was called up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear. Lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. I want to thank God Paul put that in there. Amen. I feel like in our day everybody wants you to think better of them than what they are. But here the Apostle Paul said, I don't want you to think more of me than what I really am. He said in verse number 7, said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, he said, then am I strong. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you one more time. And to God, we sure thank you for every good song that's been sang tonight. I thank you, God, for the good testimonies, Lord. I just thank you for the good Spirit of God. Father, what a blessing it is to get to come in the house of God. And to God, again, we come here tonight with the earnest expectation and anticipation that, God, that you're going to do something great, God, for this local body. Father, I do pray tonight, and God, whether we see the work or whether we don't, and God, may we rest tonight in the fact that you said your word would not return unto you void, but it would accomplish its purpose whithersoever you send it. And so, God, I pray tonight, help us, and Lord, to preach in faith. And God, I pray that you'd set the plow deep, and God, put it right in our hearts, and help us by the good glory of God, and Father, say everything you'd have us to say. And Lord, I certainly love you tonight. I pray, God, you give us unction and utterance with which nobody can preach without. And Father, I sure thank you tonight. I say this, Lord, again. If tonight is my last time, I pray you'd help it to be the best time and to help me to say the best thing that I ever have said about you. And Lord, I love you tonight. I bless your high and holy name. It's in Christ's name. And for his sake, I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. And we find that the Apostle Paul has come to this part in his life, and I always shall find it amazing. And in verse number 2, he said, I knew a man, and if this happened to above 14 years ago, he didn't go write a book, he didn't publish it at Barnes and Noble, he didn't make a YouTube video of it, he didn't try to sell it. I thank God he just said that it happened. Amen. That's amazing to me. Thank God. In our day, if God does something for anybody, it's got to be published on Twitter, at Snapchat, Facebook, everywhere else. We can't just be satisfied with the God of heaven coming down and meeting with us. Amen. But we find nonetheless, thank God, he gets in that place and he said, 14 years ago, whether in the body or out, he said, I do not know. But God caught him up into the paradise, into the third heaven, and showed him some mighty powerful thing. But I want you to notice, he said in verse 7, he
said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. It was given to me a thorn in the flesh, have a messenger of Satan to buffet me, and lest I should be exalted above measure. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. And we find the Apostle Paul gets a thorn in the flesh that the Lord allows to be there. And my friend, let me say this to you. As Paul's dealing with this thorn in the flesh that he has besought the Lord about three times, and we find God says, my grace is sufficient. I am glad tonight that has not changed. Amen. And the grace of God is still as sufficient today as it ever has been. And the supply is still plenteous, and the sufficiency still altogether. I'm glad that God's grace is still real. Amen. I'd say this to you, friend. And we find that Apostle Paul, he's dealing with a thorn in his flesh, and he's besought the Lord about it at least three times in this text. And here's what I would say. That's somewhere in the middle of dealing with this thorn, that's somewhere in the middle of dealing with this fault. And the Bible says that the voice of God that Miss Irene was singing about, it said that that voice came down and said, my grace is sufficient. I want to remind you today, you know what happened? And right in the middle of that thorn, he heard from the rose. Amen. If God help me tonight, that's what I'd like to preach about. I'm right in the middle of your thorns, and you ought to be looking for a rose. I understand tonight, ain't a lot of folks in a lot of different things. But my. And what a blessing it is to go through a few things just that you might be able to see Christ in a better light. Amen. And now listen, like it or love it, it don't make much difference when you come to the text. I thought about it in Genesis 3, about verse number 18. That's where the Bible teaches us that the curse has come on the land. And it said that thistles and thorns shall grow. Hey, listen, you can run from right there and run all the way to Calvary, and you'll find that thorns are a part of the curse. Amen. And boy, they put that crown of thorns on top of his head, and the Lord bears it where he's at. I'd say this to you. If you ever get stuck by a thorn, and you probably cry, oh. If you put an O in the middle of the curse, hey, you'll find it'll be a part of your course. Amen. I don't care how long you live life, and thank God you're going to have to deal with some thorns in your flesh. Amen. Hey, you're going to have some battles. I would to God, hey, listen, I am more acutely aware than I have ever been that these bodies are failing. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. I can't even prop my leg up on the pulpit until I set it back down. I got to let it rest for a minute until I can take off running again. We are living in fallen bodies, amen, and we're fighting fallen things. But oh my, I'm going to tell you, I thank God no matter every time, Brother Demmer, I'm honest before God, every time I feel another pain, I've got another hurt, I think there's a day coming, I'm going to get a body like the Son of God, amen. And thank God, hear me, friend. I start thinking about you fine, and that those thorns in the Bible, and they're there for many reasons. And number one, I'd say this, and those thorns are there, and they used, the devil tried to use the thorns to humiliate Christ. But oh, listen, and right there on the cross of Calvary, and bloomed the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valley, amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, tries to humiliate Christ. And then I thought about this, and as you try to humiliate Christ, but he tries to hinder the seed. In Matthew chapter 13, and when the seed went out and it was preached, the Bible said, and some fell among the thorns and it was choked out. Oh, listen, there's a lot of folks, thank God, they've been dealing with thorns in their life and it's choked out the seed. Amen. But then I thought about this, and they're not just there to hinder the seed and to humiliate the Savior, but I thought in this text, how they're there to harm the saints. I want you to understand, and the devil has sent some things, and there he has principalities and powers, and there are things we war against, and they are harmful to us. Amen. And oh yes, thank God, and there's very real battles. And Brother Jonah's making mention of it. I can't tell you this, and I was trying to explain this to Josh the other day, and I ain't trying to act like I'm super spiritual or nothing like that, but I'm telling you this is the truth. And there are days in my life that there is a weightiness on my heart and a weightiness on my mind, and it's a battle, it's a struggle, amen. I mean, it's to get up and it's to run to Calvary and to do all those things, and it's almost all at once there's times it's just like that the Holy Ghost has chosen to remove that burden off of me for a little while and to give me Ezra 9:8 and give me a little reviving in my bondage, amen. And boy, I'm sure thankful for it. But I'll tell you that those days when there are thorns there, and those days when you're fighting all of hell, I'm telling you, I wouldn't take much for those. I don't like them every day, but I'll tell you, they're sure good for us, amen. I'm going to give you 3 or 4 things tonight, and I'm going to be done. Hey, listen, friend, let me say this to you. It all depends on what your perspective is and what the thorn's supposed to do. And number one, I want to say this to you. From the devil's perspective, and we find here in this text, from the devil's perspective, he said in verse number 7, there was a messenger of Satan to buffet me, amen. And from the devil's perspective, it was a trouble to fight. Oh, hear me today, friend. The devil tried to make sure that there was something to fight. I'll tell you what he's trying to do to Paul. He's trying to discourage him from going on for the Lord, amen. Hey, listen, let me say this to you tonight, and you just stay tuned with your Bible. But in 2 Corinthians, it's the very same letter that we're reading, and the Bible says in chapter 1 verse 8, he said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of the troubles which came to us in Asia, and we were pressed out of measure above strength, and so much that we despaired even of life, and we had the sense of death in ourselves, and we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and in whom we trust, he will yet deliver. I'll tell you what the devil's trying to do to him. He's trying to get him discouraged by the thorns in his path. He said, I'll tell you what, it'll just bring you down. I'll tell you what, I'll just put a little pain in your life. I'll put a little hurt in your life. I'll put a little harm in your life. It'll get your mind off Christ, and it'll discourage you. But oh, let me tell you what, he underestimated. Anytime you stick a saint of God, anytime a saint of God's got to fight hell, you know what they do? They run as hard as they can to heaven, amen. Thank God. I'll guarantee you that's right. Hey, don't run to the bottle. Hey, don't run to the bars. Hey, they don't go down to the juke halls. Hey, they don't do none of that stuff. Hey, they don't go get self-help books. I'm telling you, you find a child of God who's got a real relationship with God. And anytime they're facing a battle, anytime they're facing a thorn, anytime they're fighting hell, and they'll do the same thing every time. And they can't get to Calvary fast enough, amen. And they know where their help comes from. If they know where their source comes from. I thank God. Listen, I love the church of God. I'd rather be here, I said it this morning, as anywhere apart from heaven. But I want to remind you tonight, my source of strength don't come from the church house. I thank God it goes a little higher than that. It comes from a little bigger place than that. I'm glad there is. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching again tonight pretty good. Amen. I'm saying there is a fountain filled with blood. Amen. I'm glad I do have a source of strength. And thank God this world might not understand. But I can claim the blood. Amen. I am glad there's still no weapon for it against us that'll prosper. I thank God for it. There might be a roaring lion, but he is not the lion. I'm glad I know the lion of the tribe of Judah. I'm glad I know whom I believe. I've committed in him against that day. I'm saying this to you, friend. Where we stand at, there may be a trouble to fight and to discourage us, but thank God it's still encouraging. Amen. Oh yes. At first he tried to discourage him. And I thought about this. He probably used those thorns in his life to try to deter him. I try to get him off base. I don't know where you stand at. But boy, back home, if we kick the ball in a bunch of thorns, nobody wants to go in the thorns to get it. We're trying to find a way around those thorns. We're trying to find it. Whenever old Owen was little, he was the littlest in the bunch, his brothers would make him go in. They'd say, you get under the thorns. that we try to avoid thorns at all costs. I'm going to tell you in chapter number 11 of 2 Corinthians, hey, Apostle Paul had 195 lashings, amen. 195 times somebody had taken a whip and put across his back. 195 times. Let me ask you this. I believe that's probably 194 more than most Baptists are willing to take in our day, amen. Oh yes. That's about 194 more. And you say, how do you know that? I'm watching folks quit on every side over what seems like nothing to me, amen. I mean, listen, friend, it doesn't matter. Look here. If you walk out of this door tonight and you say, I hate that preacher, thank God you might hate me, but you got a bigger problem with the Word of God, amen. You walk out of here, thank God, and you don't like me, that's fine. I'll tell you, if God let me live to Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, I'll be right back here in this very same place and preaching the very same word in the very same way. It's not going to discourage me, amen. I done preached this way too long. I've been in this way far too long. At 26 years, at least long enough, I'm preaching the gospel to try it out, I'd say, amen. Hey, thank God I started this way. And by the good grace of God, I have no intention to detour. If God should pattern our way, hey, listen, if he should decorate our path all the way to glory with thorns the rest of the way, and we ought to say, God, if all there is between me and glory's thorns, and there'll be more than enough grace to get me through every thorn I'll face. Amen. Oh, yes. It didn't discourage him. The devil's doing everything he can. Trying to discourage him. He's trying to deter him. I'd say this to you. He's probably trying to defeat him. Amen. He said, Lord. He said, I'll tell you what I'd like for Paul to do. I'd like for Paul to hush. Amen. And now listen, you remember that time that old fellow, the sons of Sceva, was there. And they was trying to cast out devils. And they said, we cast you out by Jesus whom Paul preached. And one of them devils looked back at him. And they said, Jesus we know. And Paul we know. And then, who are you? Amen. And listen to me, friend, and they was wanting rid of Paul, thank God. They was wanting rid of Paul, amen. I find this interesting. Ain't it amazing that only lost people, listen, neither heaven nor hell knows your name. I mean, just take that home, think about it for just a second. And thank God you find in Matthew chapter number 7, he said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. That means if you're lost, Christ don't know you. And then according to that scripture, hell don't know who you are either, amen. And you're a child without anybody knowing who you are. But I'm going to tell you this, not the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul's preaching. Thank God they're trying to hinder him on every stand. And they're trying to put thorns in his flesh, and put stripes on his back, and put stones in his body. Hey, listen, three times he's in a shipwreck, and I only read about one of them. And so there's at least two more times that the devil's trying to get him off the path. And thank God, Paul, he didn't even make mention of it until right here, thank God. He just sailed on, amen. He said, thank God, thank God. I'm telling you, the devil's done everything he can and to try to fight him. And there he is. One of the great blessings of the church today. If they can fight against it, they can persecute it, and they can legislate against it. But I'll promise you this, until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church will be doing just fine, amen. Thorns and all, amen. It'll be doing just fine. I thought about, thank God, listen, from Satan's perspective, it was a trouble that he would have to fight. From the Apostle Paul's perspective, that we find in this text, watch this, it is a torture that he had to feel. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, that was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Have a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I'd say this in the Apostle Paul's point of view. He said, man, this thing hurts. I'm not trying to diminish what everybody goes through tonight. I want everybody to listen to me real good. I do not expect some of these folks. I don't expect what maybe would a shipwreck Brother Delmer Savage. I don't expect Eli or Owen or Grayson to be able to just sail right through that thing. He's been through some life, amen. He sailed through some battles, Brother Chase. He's went down the road a while and he's found out that God's faithful, amen. And so, Brother Bill, where you sit at tonight, and you've looked back on your life and say, man alive, God sure has been faithful. But ain't it amazing? This is the wonder of the whole thing. And Brother Dustin, is where we sit at, and that whatever little Addie's facing, and God's got grace that's just the right measure for what Addie's facing, and for what Josh is facing, and God's got just the right amount of grace for what Josh is facing, and what Owens are dealing with. And God said, I got that covered too. I'm glad the grace of God will always be sufficient for the need of the hour. Amen. Oh, listen, he's in that place. And the Apostle Paul says, man, it's a torture to feel. Hey, listen, could I tell you it's a torture? And he even knows the reason for it. Amen. He said, I know why it's there. He said, if this thing wasn't here, he said, I'd be exalted above measure. Amen. I've wondered this. Listen, these folks that I used to be a little hard on, and I'm growing a little softer on sometimes. And I get to thinking, so I hear, you know, there's a lot of preachers, you know how they talk about other preachers. Maybe you don't know that, but preachers do that. Amen. And they talk, you know, about different kind of preachers. And usually, it's the preachers who aren't trying to do anything. And they talk about preachers who are trying to do something. Amen. Maybe y'all didn't know that, but that is how that works. All right. It's no different in the pews. Amen. It's usually folks talking about folks who are trying. And the folks that ain't doing nothing is people who's trying to talk about them. Amen. Somebody help me right there. That's right. Amen. That is right, thank God. But these folks, that they've got a national platform, and I don't know why sometimes folks pick them out, but there are good men who have a national platform. But I want to tell you this, I want you to listen to me very carefully. And they say some of those men that used to start off straight, and they've swayed the wrong way, and I know that, and you do too. But let me ask you this, let's say, everybody, Brother Doug, if 5 nights a week, out 50 weeks out of the year, every time you walked out the back door, has somebody told you how good you was, how much they enjoyed your presence, and what do you reckon you'd be like? Amen. Hey, thank God. I'm telling you, if every day somebody built you up and then you walked out for long, you'd be in trouble too. Hey, you know, listen to me. I want you to hear me. The Apostle Paul knew what he was. He said, I could be exalted in my flesh, and you could be too. And so y'all just thank God for the thorns God gave you. Amen. If it wasn't for those troubles, and it wasn't for those tribulations, and you might be a prodigal, and so far away from God, you couldn't find your way back. But boy, that thorn keeps you close, and that hurt keeps you close, that pain keeps you sinking. I say, let God leave the pain and keep you close to God. Amen. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. I still feel pretty good, am I? I'm saying this today. Brother Donnie asked me today, he said, you got to be tired. And boy, I was, amen. I'm honest with you. Until I get right here. Boy, when I get right about here, I feel like I could preach for another 10 years, amen. At least that long, thank God. Consecutively, amen. Every night, praise God. I'm saying that my wife said, oh no, amen. Let me say this to you, friend. We're in this place, and Paul knew the reason for it. And Paul knew why that thing was there. He even recognized it. But man, I love his reaction. I mean, when that thorn gets in his flesh, he didn't write a letter to John. He didn't write a letter to Paul. Hey, because he didn't sign off on something and bring it to the Ephesians. Oh no, he said, I sought the Lord for it 3 times. What a blessing. What a pattern, amen. You say, preacher, how do I deal with what I'm fighting in my flesh? I believe I just keep bringing it to the Lord, amen. Sin and all, amen. Hey, you say, preacher, I'm battling some things in my life and I can't get victory over it. I tell you what I'd do if I was you. I'd just keep bringing it to the Lord. I'd just keep bringing it to the Lord, amen. I was thinking, brother, me and Brother Dave Barnhouse talking and the other day, Brother Dave told me this. And Brother Dave said, Brother Kevin, he said, you know what repentance really looks like? And I said, no. And he said, every time we come up to the Lord and we bring something to God, and he said, then we go back, and a few days later we're in the same thing, and a few days later we're in the same thing, I'm fighting the same sin, I'm dealing with the same battle. He said, but I'll tell you what repentance is. He said, it's that time when you bring it up and you put it on the altar, and he said, and God says, they'll not be back for that one no more. They'll not be back for that one no more. And say, what happened? They really did give it to me. Amen. And boy, that's what that, hallelujah, that's what repentance really does look like, amen. And boy, I wish to God that there'd be some folks, amen, and we'd just give the Lord some things and just leave them there and go back to where we was at and go on for God, amen. And so from Satan's perspective, that's a torture. It's a trouble to fight. And from Paul's perspective, it's a torture to feel. But from Christ's perspective, and really the only one that matters in this thing, it is a tool to form, amen. Let me say this to you. Paul put that where he put it, when he put it, for the purpose to make Paul the man that he was, amen. Hey, you know what'll help you deal with life? And so when you look back and you stop, hey, you stop thinking it's people that's done everything, and it's folks all around me that's hurt me, and you realize that God's let you go through some hell sometimes, just on time, right at the time, to form you into the Christian that he wants you to be, amen. Oh, yes, listen, I've got some good news about some of these things. I want you to stay tuned with me for just a minute. Here's what you find the Apostle Paul. He finally gets to a place in his life when he realizes it was a gift, amen. It was a gift. I imagine when he first got that thorn in his flesh, let me go on record saying this. This gets in me sometimes. Nobody knows what that was, amen. Let's be very clear. I don't care what they postulate on it. Nobody knows what that really is. But what we do know is that it was a mighty big hindrance, amen. You got any hindrances in your life? I mean, you got anything right there? And you think, man, if it wasn't for that thing, I really would serve God. Amen. If it wasn't for whatever that was, I feel like I'm preaching to myself right there a little bit. But you know, you think to yourself, hey, man, if it wasn't for that thing that's right there, if it wasn't for my past, if it wasn't for whatever it is, I really would serve the Lord. But all the Apostle Paul gets to a place in his life when he no longer sees it as a curse, but he finds it as a gift. Amen. What a blessing. When we get to realizing that thing and we say, Lord, want rid of it. Lord, want rid of it. Lord, want rid of it. And then one day something happens and we say, Lord, thank you that it's there. Oh, Lord, thank you that it's there. I never have received a thorn for a gift and I don't want to start this Christmas, all right? But I am going to say this to you. If it is the will of God to put something on us, to help us to draw closer, I hope God will give us the understanding and to know that what he's given us is a gift and it was put there to form us for his glory, amen. Oh, listen, let me say this. I mean, it's a tool to form us. I think that it's a gift and not a curse. But then I want to say this to you, and I want you to be mindful of it. We find when he gets it there, he thought that there was nothing going to be good enough. And what he found was that God's grace was sufficient. I started thinking about this. Isn't it amazing that every time that the devil tries to do something to try to hinder the people of God, he ends up helping them. Stay tuned with me. He ends up helping them. I want you to think about this. Y'all just hang tight with me just a second. Let me rattle off three or four of them for you, and then maybe to help you to go home and realize what you've been thinking is a hindrance in your life. Maybe there by the sovereign design of God. Amen. I'd say this first of all. You remember over there, there's a time that there's three Hebrew boys, and Hananiah, and Azariah, and Mishael. Amen. We'll use their names, thank God. Amen. And they get out there, and there's and the devil says, man, I've got a fire. But in that fire, what really happened, had they thought was going to be a hindrance to their flesh. They got in there and they found it was the fountain of living waters met with them right in the middle of that thing. And not only did they not hinder them, I thank God it helped them, amen. I thought about how many folks, I mean that impotent man was there for 38 years, and no doubt he wished to God that he wasn't in that place until the day that God passed by his way. I thought about the woman with the issue of blood, and for 12 years it was a thorn, but on that day, thank God it was a blessing. And what about the woman for 18 years that was bent over by the devil, and for 18 years hadn't looked up, and for 18 years hadn't seen God, and for 18 years hadn't had no joy, but then on that day, boy, God just unfolded her, and the first person she seen was the Lord Jesus Christ. I just think it's amazing that the devil thought, I believe I'll sift Peter, and the Lord said, go ahead and sift him. But when you get done sifting, there's going to be kernels of wheat that I'm going to use for the glory of God. And go ahead, thank God. And you try to trouble him, I'm going to use that trouble to make him what I want him to be. I think it's amazing. And when you get to the scripture, scripture. He persecuted the church. He said, I'll stomp it out. And instead of stomping it out, he spread it all over. Amen. Every time that devil tries to use something as a hallelujah to God. Every single time. And then you come to this text right here. And he says, I believe I'll give him a thorn. And the Lord said, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'll let you put it there. And it was there for my glory that he might know me. Amen. And you say, preacher, what about that? Let me say the best one ever was this. And the old devil said, there's a cross. It's a place of death. And we're going to get rid of the Lord Jesus. But instead, Jesus put his own self on the cross. And he turned the tree of death into a tree of life. I'm telling you tonight, friend, and whatever the devil tries to use to curse us ends up being a blessing. Amen. Mark it down. You come to that place, we look over our life and we'll say, what was it? Here's the Apostle Paul. He says, oh. He said, you mean your grace is sufficient? I wasn't aware of that. And then he said, but here's what I know. When I'm weak, he said, man, I mean, listen, I'm weak, therefore I'm strong. Yeah. I mean, it's the Lord doing that thing. He said, therefore, well, I must rather glory in my infirmities. He said, that the power of Christ may rest on me. Paul said, all right, if I've got to trade this out, I can have one or the other. If I get rid of the thorn, I got to get rid of the power. Or I can keep the power and I can keep the thorn. Amen. He done some reckoning. He said, I'll keep the thorn. Yeah. And you'll never hear about it again. Amen. David, we never read in the scripture where the Apostle Paul ever mentions the thorn again. He said, what most gladly would I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. And then he goes down his whole list all the way down in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, and in distresses for Christ's sake. He said, send them all. Ain't it amazing? Now listen, Brother John, Lord got dealing with me one day about this. You know what Paul's sincerest desire was? I mean, his out of everything. You know what his sincerest desire was? He writes it in the book of Philippians. He said, that I may know him. Yeah. Now listen, I've got it back here. Allie made these for me years ago. Matter of fact, I've got a couple of them at this point. But listen, you ain't going to get to know Christ apart from some thorns. Some things right there were just, I mean, they was on him. But you know how good the Lord Jesus Christ is to us. He did not give Paul every thorn. He only gave him one. And he said, you know I bore them all. And if I bore them all, I can help you bear one. Let me say this. So the Apostle Paul, he's encouraged by that, Brother Creston. He steps back. He says, all right. He said, Lord, if this is how this is going to work, whatever comes my way, you're going to give me more grace to deal with it. He said, come on, infirmities, persecutions, distresses, necessities, I'll take them all. Because in my figuring, the more of that comes my way, that's got to mean more of the grace of God's going to pour down on my soul. I feel like running. I feel like y'all want it to be over. Amen. I'm simply saying this to you tonight. Really, what happened in Paul's life is he finally seen the rose amongst all his thorns. I'm at where you stand at tonight. Boy, you in that place. I mean, there's folks in here, and look here. I don't know what everybody going. I'm just preaching what the Lord laid on my heart, and I'm done. You got thorns. You face them from the time you wake up to the time you go out. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven got grace for that. Amen. And every time you feel that prick, and every time you feel that pain, may God give you the focus to look around and find. There'll be a rose in the middle of that thing. I'll tell you where you'll find him. I mean, this right here, when they put that down, you know who was right in the center of this thing? Wish you'd have helped me on that one. He's right where he always is. Right in the midst of whatever's going on with us. Let's stand our feet. Honey, come get a song. Whatever you're going to get. Donnie, Josh, whoever's going to play. I don't know where you're at.